This is a letter written by G.F. Windsor to Z. Charnot and Susan Jennifer Gray, part 2. On page 2, dated September the 7th, 1993. Neither the Canadian nor United States dollars are subject to exchange controls. Exchange controls are government-established rates of exchange for converting domestic currency into foreign currency, which residents are prohibited by law from holding at home or abroad. Purposes for which such foreign currency may be purchased by a resident, and rates of exchange at which residents must convert all foreign currencies they acquire into domestic currency, or some combination of these. If the exchange rates in 1 and 3 are not the same, then there may be a two-tiered or a multi-tiered exchange control regime. These can be very repressive for residents and will be found in Mexico and many of the Central American and Caribbean countries in which EarthLab International BV and CPNA propose to license SCYE. These complexifications are an important reason for the provision of local counsel in each country in the territory, and the translation and recording of the license agreement in each such country, and the further assurances provision. In this respect, both Canada and the United States have excellent records, having in the past largely refrained from imposing exchange controls on residents. However, the much higher run-up of inflation in Canada in the 1980s than in the United States, the parallel amendment in the 1980s of the Criminal Code of Canada to raise the criminal rate interest in Canada to 60% per annum, and more recently the issue by Canada of real rate bonds bearing a rate of interest indexed to the domestic rate of inflation, and political statements respecting the governor of the Bank of Canada, must give serious observers little confidence that there is in Canada any concerted executive and bureaucratic commitment to the Canadian dollar as a store of value. It is in circumstances where a local currency is depreciated and loses its store of value that residents tend to switch to foreign currencies to avoid the erosion of inflation on the one hand, or the holding of the physically appreciating assets located within the jurisdiction of a government that tolerates the ravages of inflation. Exchange controls are such a government's inevitable response to its citizens switching out of its depreciated currency. Furthermore, as such a government's economic alternatives are reduced as a consequence of its fiscal and monetary irresponsibility, its other policy alternatives are similarly narrowed, forcing it into illiberal and repressive policies to the further disadvantage of its citizens. This is nothing more than a lesson in applied history, the first lesson of which is that most people refuse to learn the lessons of history. For the foregoing reasons, it would appear to me to be bizarre and extraordinary if the royalty payable to a Dutch BV under its international license agreements were to be denominated in Canadian dollars. Thus, it is my advice that both SCYE and CPNA pay U.S. dollars to EarthLab International BV. So far as concerns the marketing agreement, because CPNA must pay U.S. dollar royalties to the EarthLab International BV, it would appear only prudent that CPNA denominate its prices for its products sold under its marketing agreement in U.S. dollars to avoid currency mismatch and consequent unanticipated foreign exchange losses, As you have pointed out to SCYE, it will be receiving U.S. dollars on sales in the United States, and consequently the money of account under the marketing agreement is matched to the currency in which it may be anticipated. SCYE will transact most business under the marketing agreement. For these reasons, I think neither EarthLab International BV nor CPNA should not give SCYE the option of making payments in Canadian dollars. This undermines the specification of the money of account as U.S. dollars in their respective license agreements. Further, the second and third paragraphs of Issue 1, fourth draft, August 23, 1993, seems to me to provide for different bases of determination of amount of Canadian dollars that would be accepted in payment of the U.S. dollar amounts payable under the license agreement and the marketing agreement made before and after exclusivity of license is claimed. As indicated, I think it would be imprudent to accept Canadian dollar payments. If, however, they were to be acceptable, then I do not know why two different bases of exchange should apply. I think the second basis is the appropriate one. There are a number of matters to discuss when next we meet. Yours truly, George Windsor. George F. Windsor.